Well, good evening, class. We're so glad you're with us tonight. We have been preaching about fired up and getting stirred up, getting prayed up and read up, getting ready to go up. Yeah. We're in preparation mode. The Holy Spirit whispered that early in my prayer time this morning. Getting in preparation mode for the coming of the Lord. The countdown has begun. And we're into the very, very, very last seconds of the countdown. We're into that. And we ought to be excited about the kingdom of God. Excited about the kingdom of God. Praise God. Well, we're glad you're here tonight. And I'll try to come back down a little bit, but I enjoyed that beautiful worship. And I love that song. Paula sings that song. It's just, I love that midnight cry. That's part of my message if I ever get to it, that part. Yeah, those five foolish and five wise. Why were the five foolish? What happened to them? Out of oil, and the fire's gone. Lights out. Out of oil. I mean, they didn't have electricity back then, guys. So that was a lantern or a candle or an oil-driven, oil-ran light. Out of oil, light out. Foolish. Foolish. We're not foolish today. We're wise. My children, he said, my children are wise. Say that tonight. I'm wise. Look to someone right beside you and tell them, you're wise beyond your years. Second Timothy 1, isn't that right, Don? 1-6. Yes. 2 Timothy. Last week we talked about the creation and what the second verse meant, and the Spirit of God moved. And we talked about the brooding Spirit of God. Okay? We talked about the overshadowing of God. And we talked about the overshadowing of Peter and the overshadowing of Psalms 91 and Psalms 23. We talked about how God moved upon the face of a chaotic time, and order came out of it. Order came out of it. Praise God. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord, okay? And so we've been talking about the moving of God, but we actually began here with Paul's exhortation to Timothy. And there's a reason the way Paul worded the first part of this story tonight, okay? So you ready for it? Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, okay? From God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. You see in that? I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and then in your mother Eunice. I am persuaded it's in you also. Wherefore, I put in thee remembrance that thou stir up. Everybody say, stir up.
Stir up.
Stir up. Now, 3 weeks ago, we talked about this word stir up in the Greek. And it meant be in a full flame. A full flame, or to kindle afresh. I want to tell you, if you want to listen, there's great preaching out there, okay? I'm going to challenge you. This is kind of part of what we're going to be talking about these next few weeks on this, being fired up, okay? We told you last week, it's one thing to get stirred up. It's another thing to stay stirred up. Remember I gave you the analogy of the doctor? I listened to him again today, just very briefly, about 10 minutes. And he said, when people go on a diet, within 5 years, 97%, within 3 years, 97% of the people are completely out of the diet. They're not on it anymore. When people start an exercise program in January, at the end of that year, 1% is still in the exercise program. Diet and exercise doesn't work. Lifestyle works with exercise and with a balanced diet, okay? That works. But it's one thing to start. It's another thing to finish. I have to be careful here. I have a lot of my friends that did things and got on programs and MLMs and multi, you know, about losing weight, and they had it all posted, and they had lost this, and they showed themselves sideways, and I think some of them didn't have their clothes on hardly and showed all. I thought, boy, I'm telling you, you don't have to tell anybody that you've lost weight.
No. Yeah.
It's not their business. We're not in the selling business. We're here for all of us to live a life of longevity.
Right.
You hear what I'm saying? Okay. But don't start something and then sell it to everybody else and you don't finish it.
Yeah.
Hello? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to start. I celebrate my birthday tomorrow, March the 9th, 1956, okay? Well, March the 26th, 1972, 47 years ago, I got born again. Hello?
Yeah.
And I got born in the fire. I needed it. I need some stuff burnt out of me. On March the 19th, 1973, a year later, I was ordained in the ministry at just barely 17 years of age. I just turned 17 by about 2 weeks, or actually by about 10 days. Pastor Dennis was there. Sister Gail Myers, our missionary, was there. My pastor, Brother Shivers, and other ministers was there that night. And it was a great youth rally after the march meeting. And there's a big crowd. And I got ordained. We actually got that on a cassette. We got it put away into our archives. But I started this 47 years ago, and I got born into the fire, okay? I want to tell you tonight, it has never went out. It has never went out. I'm not going to say that my flame burned big and bright sometimes. But when I knew that there was a flame wanting to flicker, because Paul telling Timothy, In the Greek, or actually in this verse, it meant capable. In the original stirred up, it meant that it's capable of going out if you neglect it. How many knows the fire will go out if you don't put some wood on it?
Right.
How many knows that your fire will go out if you don't put some wood on it? If you don't fuel the flame, put wood on the flame. I've got preacher friends that started preaching when I started that's not even in the ministry tonight. I got pastors that I preach for that's not in the ministry tonight. Hello? I got people that were saved in the same revival that I got saved in that's not even in the kingdom or even believers tonight. I'm thankful after 47 years, I can testify tonight, my fire is still burning.
Praise God.
Amen?
Yep.
Is yours still burning?
Yeah.
Passion, desire, excited about the kingdom of God? Amen. The fire that represents the presence of God in our life. I'm telling you, it was like on fire. Don said, Robert, when I started coming down and that was playing, he said, I got halfway down those stairs. And I mean, the presence of God just came over me mightily coming down those stairs. That is the way it should be. That's the way it should be. Supernatural meeting supernatural and supernatural things happening, okay? So, we're going to turn the page tonight. We talked about the moving last week, and what that meant, and we brought you through some verses in the Old Testament. We're going to go back to the New, and we're going to take this part, stirred up, and it meant that it's a fire that is capable of going out, okay? I want to go to Leviticus chapter 6, the favorite book that you enjoy reading when you're reading the Bible through. Charlene Bunce's favorite book. The book, he said, I'm going to be speaking tonight from the book of Leviticus. Bless his heart, he wanted to do it, but he just didn't have the wording right. It is not Leviticus tonight, it's the book of Leviticus. It's the book of laws. Okay? It's a book of laws. I'm going to say this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's a book of laws that's written in blood. The book of Leviticus is a bloody book. The book of Leviticus tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You can't take the blood out of the book. You may take it out of your church. You may take it out of your singing. But you cannot take the blood out of the book. It's there. And you can't take the blood away from your salvation. You are redeemed with not such corruptible things as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lamb. You have been bought back by His blood. Okay? So don't ever let anybody water it down and say, well, the blood has nothing to do with it. Nothing has to do with your salvation concerning the blood. It has everything to do. When they pierced him in his side and the end of that spear struck that pericardium that was around, that mucus sac around his heart, and his heart was broken. He died of a broken heart. And the Bible said both blood and water came forth. And remember, it was in his side. Out of that side came the bride, just like in the Adam, the first Adam, because there's only one Adam, that was Christ. But the Adam that was in the garden was put to sleep, and out of his side came a bride. And when they pierced him that day, out of his side came the bride of Christ. Yeah. We are redeemed by the blood.
Amen.
We've been bought by the blood. So it's a bloody book. Leviticus is a bloody book. So let's go to the sixth chapter of Leviticus tonight. We're going to talk about This is so powerful. It just got so big, and I just kept writing all over today notes and things that came to me. Okay, here we go. Don, let's see. Can we go back to 11? Did we read 11 yesterday? I can't remember. No. Let's just go. Let's read 12. Thank you. And the fire shall be burning in it. In what? The burning on the altar. Boy, can we preach there or not? Where does the fire need to be burning?
On the altar.
Well, if there's no altars, it can't burn. The fire shall ever be burning on the altar. It shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn the wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. He shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never, never, never go out. This was an ordinance, okay? According to the Bible, God, I don't know if I can find that verse for you, but God actually started this fire. The Bible said, and I'll get the verse later, but the Bible tells us that when the offering was being made, that God Almighty came down on that altar and burnt the sacrifice up. And the rabbis, the Jewish people, actually think that that's when this fire got started. God started that fire. Well, I can tell you the Bible tells us in Hebrews. Are you ready for this one? The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, our God is a consuming fire. All through this Bible, I need a bigger stand. I'm like Sister Copeland down here. All through this Bible, there is fire. Fire, okay? So in Leviticus, when we read this, this represents the presence of God. The fire represents His presence. So if there is no fire there, there is no presence there. Do you get that? The fire shall ever be burning. It shall never go out. Notice, I want you to notice some things today. The Bible said that the priest, I never saw this. Because understand, they was Levites and they were priests, okay? They were Levites. Levites had certain responsibilities and obligations. Remember, in Leviticus, there were 48 Levitical cities, okay? And they were places of safety that a manslayer, if he's working out in the field and the axe head flies off and he hits his neighbor and kills him, he can run and find safety in the cities of refuge, okay? They can run there with 48 Levitical cities, and out of those were six cities of refuge that they could find refuge in, okay? That's also in Leviticus. There was the priest that had his position and what his responsibilities was, and they were the Levites. And the Levites, if you remember, I would love for you to read this, because there it's imperative to understand the importance of the priest and the Levite of the Old Testament. Let me say this. This is one of my pet peeves. I think we've lost some of the reverency for the priesthood. When our pastor becomes common Joe, we've lost reverence. Did you hear what I just said? When we don't look to him, and it's our own fault because our pastors and people have preached this, well, we're just human just like you are. We are, but we got a spiritual calling like you, except that we have a spiritual post to be the shepherd of that local church. Did you get that? There is an ecclesiastical order that should be in a New Testament church, and we've lost the reverence to the priesthood today. And I have to admit, it's probably the preacher's fault. It's probably the pastor's fault. But we got to esteem. I tell you, let me tell you what I appreciate about the Catholic people. They esteem, to a fault, they esteem the position of the priest. That's why the enemy has fought that church so much through sexual abuse. It's to tear down the image of that priest. When a pastor falls that we know of, the image of the ministry, do you think we've ever hardly got over Jim Baker falling or Jimmy Swaggart falling or others? Do you think we've ever? I mean, it was such a black eye to the ministry and to the kingdom of God. But you know what? I've got great news. The church is still marching on. I'm praying. Brother Swagger's got a great church. I was there. I was privileged to be at the peak of that church, at the peak of his ministry. I even got to where I wanted to preach like him. Turn with me this morning to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. And I would grab that microphone stand and just start preaching all over that stage. Praise God. I am glad that brother is still in the kingdom of God. Did you hear what I just said? Amen. He may not be in the Assemblies of God. I'm hearing through the grapevine they're attempting to bring him back in to the into the Assemblies of God. Would that be just an awesome, awesome thing to do? The priest. I never saw this until I was studying. Who built the fire? Who built the fire?
The priest did.
The priest built the fire. I never saw this. Can you imagine what would happen if our pastors would just be just ministers? Well, I heard that. The Bible calls us ministers of flaming fire. Is your pastor a minister of flaming fire? Or is he just a puppet that's reading some sermonette that is off the internet somewhere? We should be ministers of flaming fire. Praise God. Flaming. You know, that was the thing about the evangelists. They were called flaming evangelists. I mean, that's what we did. We just loved evangelizing. But here, the priest built the fire. Okay? So here, number one. Are you ready? Get this. Number one. Look what it said. He shall burn the wood every morning. Everybody say every morning.
Every morning.
Focus on the fire. Every morning. I'm not going to say you're not going to be a bumpy ride tonight. I'm challenging all of us, not just you. Everywhere I go, I challenge churches. Let's step to the plate and be the church God has ordained us to be. We should make sure before we ever do anything in the morning, we should make sure our fire is burning like it should be.
Amen.
Well, the Bible plainly says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So in the morning, you get to stirring your fire up. Get your praise music going. You say, Robert, that's just for preachers. Well, that is a problem if it is. No. You know what? Get out of the bed, sleepy head, lazy, you know, get out, get on up, get started, get to moving around. I mean, get you some coffee. If you drank coffee, get you some tea, whatever you do, and get in your quiet place. If you want your music going, get your Bible, get your calendar that you're reading the Bible through. I'm trying to tell you tonight, you're putting some wood on your fire. You see what I'm saying? You're putting some wood. When you take your calendar and you got it there in front of you and the daily prayer guide, I pray that you're doing this, and you got your calendar to the day that you're reading it and you're marking that off and you're reading your verses, you're adding wood to your fire. You're putting some wood. You're giving something that's combustible, something that can work. I just read it right before I came over. God said to Jeremiah, just finished reading that. He said, Jeremiah, my word is like a fire. And in the same verse, he said it's like a hammer. I don't know what yours and your version says. I love that one. I love my version. It's like a fire. Amen. And Jeremiah knew about this. He knew about the fire. Jeremiah, don't you love reading Jeremiah? To me, it's 58 chapters? To me, it's one of the longest books in the Bible. I can't hardly get through Jeremiah. It's just, he's the weeping prophet. He's talking to a backslid Israel. They don't want to do what he says. You know what God finally said? Jeremiah, be not dismayed at their faces. Boy, have I used that one a lot. Well, that didn't go over too good then. I mean, just don't be dismayed. I was taught in speech class, look right over their heads. You know, if you do that, you don't have to be dismayed at their face. They must have been making faces at him. Boy, I've had that to happen. I can be just preaching away. I've had that to happen. I won't even go into the things that have happened to me preaching. No. I was preaching down in Alabama and they at a nursing home. They loved me to come there because I was loud, and boisterous. They loved because they could hear me. I got to preaching down with the Sandy Robertson. She had asked me if she was over it. And as she came, she said, would you go preach? I said, sure, I'll go preach at the nursing home. Well, we got to preaching away and there was a woman there, she didn't know what floor the elevator was going to. And she was just, and she got up and she started backing up to me and she started easing her dress up. And I'm thinking, Jesus, somebody deliver me from this. Yeah, I keep promising you, we're going to have one night of storytelling of our trips of evangelizing, okay? Listen, we got to understand, we got to keep the fire burning. When you're reading your Bible, you're putting wood on there. You're placing wood. And the Bible said he did it in the morning time. Before you ever get started on anything, get your fire to burning. Get your desire and your passions burning. Let God hear your voice. We read it yesterday. Okay? So Jeremiah said, don't be dismayed at their faces. They must have been making faces at him. You know what? Jeremiah got tired of that. You know what he asked God? He said, God, you can read it in your Bible. He said, God, give me a lodging place in the wilderness. Just kind of like a Holiday Inn. Give me a lodging place. It's in your Bible. God, give me a lodging place in the wilderness. In other words, I don't want to see their faces anymore. Hey, read your Bible. It's in there. I don't have to deal with these people anymore. I won't have to listen to their murmuring anymore. I won't have to listen to their complaints anymore. You think pastors, they don't have a bed of roses. Sometimes there's things they go through and there's things they face. And Jeremiah was facing this and he finally couldn't take it anymore. And he said, God, I am sick of this. Give me a place in the wilderness. And notice what he said. I will not mention your name again. That's getting pretty low. Wow. That's getting pretty bad. That's what I call burnout, major burnout. I will not mention your name. I can't take their murmuring. I can't take their complaining. I've become bewildered by their faces. They've rejected me. They're not listening to what I'm saying. They're not hearing what I'm doing. He said, give me a lodging place in God. I promise I will not speak your word ever again. That was the prophet Jeremiah. So he got over there and got, let me tell you, God will give you what you want. And he got over there, and after a while, he got to thinking about him being a prophet. He got to thinking about his call of God. He got to thinking about his times of prophesying over Israel. And you know what the Bible said? The Bible said his word became as fire shut up in my bones. Amen. And instead of resigning, he re-signed and signed back up. I want to ask you tonight, is His word like fire shut up in your bones? Do you feel that?
Yes. Yes.
Does His word make you alive? Do you get excited about reading this? Do you get excited about reading the Bible? But if you do, you're putting wood on that fire. And you're doing it every morning. Why? And this is what the Holy Spirit whispered to me when I was praying over this. I want you to notice another one. He laid a burnt offering. Notice, in order. Everybody say order. He laid a burnt offering in order. And I thought, that is strange. He laid the burnt offering in order. In order. I just begin to think about that. This is not the first time this is ever going to be mentioned in the Bible. He laid it in order. And I was studying over that this morning, and God said, that is preparation for my presence. Do you get what I just said? You are preparing for my presence. Worship, yeah, it's here. It's here. Worship in the church, Larry, is for one reason. It is not to showboat. It is not to be a cheerleader. It is to prepare the church for the presence of God. Amen. To come into that sanctuary. That is what worship is all about. That is what that when they're leading us in worship, and we've went from one extreme to the other. I mean, I was raised in a church that we sang the old songs, hold the fort for I am coming, Jesus. And we'd wave our white flags and we'd sing other songs. It was all about us. It was all about holding the fort, because a lot of those songs was written in pestrous times, in troublesome times. And now, if we're not careful, we've gone to total nothing but celebration. I love celebration, but let me tell you what I love more. I love worship. Yeah. I love worship. I love worship. I must, number one, be a worshiper before I am a preacher. Did you hear what I said? I am to be a worshiper before I am to be a preacher. This is very good tonight. Listen to what I'm saying, okay? This is instruction preaching tonight. When Moses got on the other side of the Red Sea, everybody thought that Miriam grabbed her timbrel and led the worship. You're erroneously wrong. She did not. She did that, but she did not lead the worship. It was the man of God, Moses. Read your Bible. Moses led them into worship. If our pastor's not worshiping, we can't expect our people to be worshiping. Where's the cell phone? Yeah, if we're up, if worship's going on and we're constant, you know what? I think we're nearly to a place. Check the dad burn phones in at the door.
Yeah.
No, we don't have time for this. Well, we're giving by phone. You can give by phone before you ever get there. You say, Robert, you're hard. No, I'm telling you this. We're going to focus on one thing, and that's to get this thing in order. Because what's in order, he orders blessings on that. Mm-hmm. What's in order, he orders his presence on that. Robert, Dad, I just can't. Well, I can give you story after story, okay? So I can give you scriptures for it. They may can look them up. So let's talk about Abraham and Isaac. You ready? You want to talk about order? You want to talk about fire burning? When Abraham was leading Isaac to Mount Moriah, we've been right there. When he was leading his son to offer him up for a sacrifice, he reached a place and he told the servant, "You stay here, and I and the boy are going to worship." Don't you miss that. Did you hear what I... He did not say, "I'm going to offer up my son. We are going to worship." This is mighty deep tonight. I sense the presence of God here. Because Abraham did not see offering Isaac up as much as an offering as it was, "I am going there to worship God. I'm going to worship God, and if I worship God, God will take care of this."
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Oh, my. You got to get this tonight. See, you're thinking sacrifice, and God's thinking worship. You're thinking I got to climb the mountain, and I got to sacrifice something I got to love. And God's saying all the time, "You missed it. I want you to go worship me on the top of that mountain." And I tell you, as they left, you know the story. It's been since we were elementary. They're going, and they got, I don't know if they had found it here, there. Genesis 22:5, go there, Don. There they were, and they had the wood. Are you ready? Are you ready for the sequence? They had the wood. They had the fire, but there was no sacrifice. Why was it? See, it's not about sacrifice. It's about worship. It's about worship. Are you getting this tonight? If it would have been about a sacrifice, this is revelatory preaching. I've never preached this. If it had been about sacrifice, why didn't he carry a lamb with him just like he did Isaac? It'd have been just as easy. He owned thousands and thousands of them. Because it wasn't about the sacrifice as much as it was about obedience and obeying what God wanted Abraham to do. And then when he left, he said, "I and the son will go yonder and we will worship, and we're coming back again." That, my friend, is an incredible statement of faith. What are you talking about, Robert? I'm talking about when it's in order. When things are in order, the fire will fall.
Amen.
And you wonder why churches are dead and the fire is not falling? There's disorder in the church today. There's not order. Things are not being done in an orderly fashion. And God is wanting to bring order to the body of Christ, that the fire can fall and His presence can fall. He is weeping. He is weeping over the body of Christ today that we are missing the worship of Him. Well, we got the music. We got everything that goes with it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about worship tonight. I'm talking about the fire and everything in order and the fire falling in the presence of God. And the Bible said here, and Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, and he laid it upon Isaac, his son. It's a type and symbol of Christ. Because that was Mount Moriah was Mount Calvary. We do know that. It was the same place that Isaac was to be offered. It was the same place Jesus was to be offered. And Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they both went together. And the Bible said here, and Isaac spake to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire, the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went together twice. That's mentioned, okay? There was what it was. There was companion and fellowship between a father and a son. Total obedience from the son to the father. And that's why the Bible said that Jesus was a lamb, he was like a lamb led to the slaughter. He was obedient to the will of his father. That's what he struggled with. He wasn't struggling with a will that we would know about. When he struggled in the garden, he said, oh, let this cup pass from me. He was struggling with that will. God, this has got to be done. They came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar. What does that next verse say? He did what? He laid the wood in order. In order. You get the pattern, okay? He laid the wood in order. I could take you to 1 Kings tonight, chapter 19, where Elijah, we went to Mount Carmel. Remember when we was on Mount Carmel, we seen the Valley of Jezreel? In 1 Kings 19, the Bible said that there came a showdown of the gods. And this is what Elijah said. The God that answers by fire. Did you get what I just said? The God that answers by fire is the God that we will serve. And they got on there and they started dancing and they were shouting and they got so crazy trying to get their God to hear them. And they started cutting themselves with stones. I want to tell you something. Let me help you with something. There is some worship going on today that's out of order in the church. You better listen to me tonight. There is some things that's under the umbrella of what is called worship, that it is not in order and it should never be in order in the church house today. Come on now. You know it's right. There are things that's being demonstrated to us and we're being cheerleaded in, and there's gyrations and there's dancing. I'm not talking about dancing in the spirit. I've done that. Let me tell you, I loved to dance before I got saved. I mean, the 12th grade girl said, man, we want to dance with Robert. I was in the 9th grade. I could dance. I mean, I could get it on, brother. I mean, bring on the Bee Gees and bring on, I mean, to tell you all those 70 songs. Don't even turn them on now because they're just my, I could just do it, man. And here, I mean, let me tell you, when I got saved on that night, I didn't quit dancing. I just changed partners. It's all right to dance before the Lord. Don't let anybody tell you that you got to stop your dancing, because David danced before the Lord. And let me tell you, you're going to probably cut a little Tulsa two-step when you get to heaven. By the time we get through all the stuff we're going through, everybody's going to want to dance when we get there. It's all right to dance as long as it's in the spirit. But I don't have to be coaxed to dance by a man on the front seat or the front of that stage. That's not who's cheerleading me. I'm there to worship God. I know this may sound strange doctrine to some of you. I'm telling you, when it's in order, I've had people say, when I'm out in the meeting, I don't know what's got a hold of me. Sit down. Sit down till you know what's got a hold of you. You know it's God that's got a hold of you. Hello? I know people that want to, I mean, just no, don't, no. It's all right as long as the Spirit is involved. It's in order. When it's in order, the fire falls. Elijah, when they screamed and cried, no, Elijah, he's sitting over there. He said, maybe he's pursuing an enemy. You got to love Elijah. He just like, man, poked a bear. It was bad and he poked him. Maybe he's pursuing an enemy. Maybe he's asleep. I mean, to tell you, they were getting mad by now. And finally, buddy, when it was all said and done, he went in and killed 850 prophets. And he said, okay, dig me something around this bill. The Bible said the first thing he did was he repaired the altar. You see, that's where we're missing it today. The altar is broken down. Repair the altar. He repaired it. And the Bible said, read it. It's in the 19th chapter. And the Bible said, I never saw this. He placed the wood in order. And as soon as he placed it in order, he only had to say 63 words. He didn't have to jump up and down and do gyrations. He just said 63 words. And the Bible said, and the fire fell. I wrote this down today in my notes somewheres that Abraham was faith and the fire was there. Elijah was the prophet and the fire was there. Leviticus was the law and the fire was there. You think, where did the fire go out? Oh no, I can't get ahead of myself. But let me tell you, on the day of Pentecost, they had got everything in order. It took them 10 days because it was nothing but chaos. Let me tell you one thing. When Jesus was crucified, they went behind doors because of the fear of the Jews. They're afraid. They're frightened. They're hiding out. But 120 believe. 500 saw him. But 120 believe what he said. You go back and tarry till you be endued with power from on high. And they went back and for 10 days and 10 nights, they're praying and they're blessing God and they're worshiping God and they're getting things in order. And about 9 o'clock one morning, there came a rushing mighty wind. And the Bible said, cloven tongues like as of fire set on each of them. The worst thing that could ever happen to fire is for the wind to get involved. You get the wind involved with the fire, and man, I used to preach a message on three things the devil saw on Pentecost. He saw a brand new baptism. He saw that God would keep his word, and he saw a fire he would never, ever, ever be able to control. Amen. And he cannot control it today. Every morning, get your wood out. Get your praise on. Get your worshiping going. Get stirred up about it. Don't think about what today, what you got to do. Before all that bogs you down and gets you wore out mentally before you get out of the door and you have to have 7 cups of coffee when you get to your job site or whatever, you bask in the glory and the presence of the Holy Ghost. Praise God, worshiping Him, loving Him. I'm telling you, you're putting wood on that fire, and God is preparing you to have the most awesome day of your life. You know why people have rotten days? Because they have rotten lives. They have rotten prayer lives. Man, no, we don't have to have rotten days. We can have glorious days of heaven on earth, enjoying the presence of God and the glory of God. You know what would be just so pleasing to me tonight? That all of a sudden the fire of the Lord would fall in this place on every one of us. Like cloven tongues as a fire. Oh, hallelujah. Come to the piano, Miss Paula. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you tonight. Let the fire burn inside of us. Praise God. Are we excited about worshiping our... And I'm not talking about at church. If you wait to church to worship, you are in bad shape. You turn it on in the morning. You get that wood on that fire. You get your Bible out. You get your music going. You get that Bible in front of you. You start speaking the word. Father, I call healing today. I call healing today. I call victory today. I call that I'm going to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost today. Father, no weapon formed against me shall ever prosper. Every organ is healed. Every vein and capillary and artery is cleaned out, Lord. I pray weird prayers. I pray prayers of faith. Father, thank you that all debts are forgiven. I pray the prayer of Jabez. I prayed over my children. I said, Lord, may the spirit of the prayer of Jabez rest upon my children today. Praise God. What am I doing? Oh, like Paul said, Timothy, Timothy, don't you dare let that fire. Your grandmama had it. Your mama had it. Don't you let it go out. Praise God. Stirring up that fire. Stirring up that fire, Lord. Holy Spirit, breathe on us. Praise God. When I turn that worship on today and begin to celebrate the coming of the Lord with First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, I'm telling you, I just had a Holy Ghost fit in my study because I'm excited about it. Praise God. I don't want to be caught like those five foolish with no oil in my vessel. And that midnight cry came, the bridegroom cometh. And they that had oil trimmed their lamps and they went out to meet him. And those that didn't begin to beg from those that had it. Praise God. Praise God. Let's stand tonight. Oh, hallelujah.